We want to be appreciative to all those brothers who have led us in the opening of the worship on this morning. And that song, Troublesome Times, troubles will soon be over. And I heard Brother Drain, he mentioned in his opening remark there, that there are a lot of things that are going on in the world, and we would be somewhat insensitive if we didn't acknowledge that there is a whole lot of stuff that's going on out in the world. There is the COVID virus that is still in a rage. There are people who are protesting in the streets. There are riots and fights that are breaking out in the streets. And there are people who are trying to figure out, what do I tell people of African American descent that are in this country? And all of these things and all of the turmoil that's swirling around. And the question is there a word from the Lord? There is a word from the Lord, because God's word addresses all of the things that we face in this life. And I just ask, if you will, if we can kind of set those things to the side, I think that as we go through the word of God this morning, we'll find that there is application even for the distress or the troublesome times that we see right now. And the Gospel of John is where I'm going to ask you to meet this morning. We'll spend most of our time this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And just meet with us there. The verse of scripture that was read comes from verse number 31. We'll start, however, around verse number 2. We appreciate those of you who have come to us this morning by way of social media. We thank those that are on Facebook Lives. Y'all can put your amens and praise the Lord's in the room there as you're going through. We thank God for those who are coming to us through live stream. We thank those who are tuning in from the conference call. Call somebody up. There is an opportunity, and we need to make sure that we get the word of God out to the people. We have to deal with the people as members of the family of God in the house, and we have to deal with the people who are out of the house. And I want to rejoice. We had a brother and sister, a husband and wife, that were baptized on this past Thursday right here. And our prayer is that somebody will hear something this morning that they will say, hey, wait a minute. I too desire to be baptized into the body of Christ. So if you want to do that, I'll tell you ahead of time, just call us at 713-672-2654. Let us know. Someone will take your call, or you leave a message, and we will get you. And there is still room to be baptized into this great family of God. In John chapter 8, I've taken for a lesson title, Teach the Opposition. There are a lot of people that are in opposition to us as members of the family of God. And our responsibility, do we have a responsibility? We have a responsibility to even teach those who are opposed to us. And we get a great example in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. You remember that Jesus had gone up into the Mount of Olives. And if you look at verse number 2, John chapter 8 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Is it okay to go to the house of God early in the morning and to have members of the family of God gather around to hear the teaching of the word of God? And the Bible says, and he sat down, which was the customary position after the reading of the word of God. The teachers would sit down and they would teach those important and relevant lessons that apply to the situations in our lives. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There's a lot of things that we're finding on the news and on the radio, and even in Houston, people are out walking and marching in the streets. And the question is there time to sit down with Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and hear what Jesus has to say? The Bible is quite clear in Matthew, the 26th chapter, in verse number 55. When they came to take Jesus, Jesus said, I said daily. Is it all right to teach people every day?
Yes.
Jesus said, I said daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. The point there is, he sat down to teach. He sat down to teach an important lesson. And he said, I taught daily. Every day we ought to have an opportunity, if we come into contact with other folk who are not in the body of Christ, to say something about Jesus and his kingdom. Every day in our families, as we come into contact with family members, it's important for us to teach our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, all of the people that we come into contact with, whether we're in the body or out of the body, we need to teach. And there are some that are in opposition to the teaching of the Word of God. My question, even to us as members of the family of God, is what is our motivation? Why do we preach and teach? What is the spirit that we preach and we teach with? Do we preach and teach with a spirit of condemnation, or do we preach and teach with a spirit of hope and salvation? Are we trying to send people to hell? Are we trying to get people to get on the road to heaven? How do we approach teaching the opposition? You know, it makes a big difference how we approach it from a mental standpoint as to how our message is going to come out and be received. It makes a difference the way you say things depending upon what your motivation is. There was a lady who she had finally convinced her husband, and she said, we got to go to counseling. And they finally went to counseling, and she would tell the counselor, my husband, he's just a mean man. He don't say anything to me. He rarely talks to me. He has never repeated and told me anything about how much he loved me. And the therapist looked at the man, and she said, well, you hear all of this stuff that your wife is saying. Do you have anything to say? And she kept on nudging him, and finally the counselor got a response for him. He said, look, I told that woman that I loved her on the day that I married her, and if I change my mind, I will let her know. He had a message that said he loved her, but what was the motivation of that message? What I'm saying is, our motivation, it determines how the words come out of our mouth. It makes a difference when we're teaching people that are opposed to us. In John chapter 8 now, in verse number 4. John chapter 8 and verse number 4, the Bible said, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. We have a group of people that come to Jesus and they call him Master. I'll tell you something. There are people that can even say the right things, okay? And their motivation is not what it ought to be. So even when we say the right things, what is our motivation? Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. The Bible tells us in John 13 and verse number 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and say ye well, for so I am. Notice, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus has called the members of the Church of Christ, all of us, to a life of service. And I tell you, service is not always appreciated. But when we come to a situation like we have in the land today, in COVID-19, people are starting to praise those who do service, those who are the first line responders, those folk who are in the grocery stores, the folk who are putting the food on the shelves, the folk who are cleaning everything before and after, the folk that are preparing our food. Now people are starting to get a greater appreciation. But I want to tell you something, that servants are not very often appreciated. We just take it for granted. A wife went on a business trip. You heard me talk about this before. And she went off and she left her husband and her kids at home. And they decided that while she was gone, they were really going to impress her when she came back home. So they washed the dishes. They washed the clothes. They made the bed. They vacuumed the carpet. They swept the floors. And everything was sparkling and shining. And it was beautiful. Wife was picked up from the airport, and the kids and the husband were driving her to the house, and they're all excited about how she's going to react when she walk in the house and see a sparkling house. And she walked in the house, and she looked around and went straight to the bedroom, got ready for bed, and went to sleep. And the kids and the husband were looking at each other. It's like, did she notice? She didn't say anything. Did she notice? And Dad said, well, you know, she was tired, had a long trip. The next morning, she got up and came in, and the kids and the dad had prepared the breakfast and had it sitting on the table for her favorite juice, a cup of coffee and all of that. And they're sitting there and they're waiting to see what mama's going to say. And she ate her breakfast and drank her juice, or drank her coffee, and she didn't say anything. They were serving her, and they were like, what's the deal? And the dad finally decided, well, I guess I better ask her, what's going on, baby? When you came home, didn't you notice that the house was spotless? This morning, did you notice that we had made breakfast and coffee and juice and all of that? Did you notice that? And she said, yeah, I noticed. And they said, well, you didn't say anything. She said, yeah, it's a thankless job, isn't it? Said, I serve y'all all the time. Y'all don't even take time out. That's the thing. Sometimes, again, we don't even take time out to thank the people that are doing the service until somebody else has to do it, or we have to do it. And then we realize the opportunity, and the amazing, amazing thing is that Jesus shows us as a servant, folks are often thankless for the job that you do. They will not give, but we don't do it for the praise of men. We don't do it for the praise of women. We do it because that's what our Lord and Master did. And if Jesus did it, and Jesus served, and he did a thankless job, that is, nobody really rose up to thank him about it, what makes us think that when we're serving the opposition, when we're teaching the opposition, that somebody's going to take time to thank you? Not going to do it. And that's not why we do it. Ye call me master. And they were calling him master, but their heart was far away from Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Jesus said, why? Now, Jesus did not have like some of us. Do you know that folk in the church, did you know that Christians get attitudes? Even in the church, we got members of the Church of Christ. I'm not talking about denominations now, but in the Church of Christ, we got brothers and sisters running around, and they've got what appears to me from the stuff that you put out there on social media. And I'm not picking a fight with you, but what is your motivation? You are teaching in an opposition manner based upon what I'm reading and seeing rather than on a salvation track. And my encouragement, my word to all of us is to teach the opposition, but make sure that we teach it with a proper attitude. Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus wants us to remember that there has to be a connection between what we say and what we do and why we do the things that we do. They brought this lady to Jesus. Master, we caught her in the very act of adultery. In John 8 and verse number 5, they said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned to death. But what sayest thou? Jesus, so that now they're trying to put Jesus in opposition to the law of Moses. And they don't care anything about this woman. They don't care for her soul. They are looking for a reason against Jesus. What do you say, Lord? they are teaching by a spirit of opposition. And let's just take a station identification for us as members of the family of God. I told you that I'm really good at aggravating people. I aggravate people, and I don't even be trying to. So I know that if I'm trying to aggravate somebody, I can aggravate them. It's like I found my gift, my skill. I aggravate people, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I don't try to aggravate people. I really, really do not. So if you're aggravated right now, I know I do that. It happens. But the other thing that you might want to look at is, what is your motivation? I want you to look, if you will, at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 29. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 29, look what the scripture says here. The Bible says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder. Wait a minute. These are some terrible things they got listed up there, but after murder, what is this word? Debate. Does that seem to fit? Debate. We got debate teams. We got some folks that are great debaters, debate teams in the church. That word comes from the Greek word iris. And that word iris means contention, a state of derision, a state of strife and debate. And listen, in the church, that is not us. We are not people that are stirring up strife inside the church or out of the body of Christ. We're to be like our Lord and Master. We teach from a motivation of salvation. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. Debate. Listen, in all of these things that we would consider to be terrible things, we've got to make sure that our spirit is not a spirit of argumentativeness. All right? Now, we are not people that are always looking for an argument, a fight. We are trying to teach from a spirit of reconciliation. We're preaching a word of hope, a word of inspiration, a word of peace from God to mankind for folks that are in the church and folk that are outside the church. We are teaching the opposition. Notice, Jesus knew the hearts and the minds of these people. In John chapter 8 and verse number 6, the Bible says, this they said, tempting him, that they might have ought to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Why did they come to Jesus? Master, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned to death. But what sayest thou? And verse number 6, the Bible reveals to us that the reason that they did this is that they were argumentative and they were derisive, and they were looking for an occasion to bring Jesus down. They wanted to have something that they could accuse him of. And what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't say anything. Jesus just kept writing on the ground, acting like he didn't even hear them. And then finally, when they persisted, Jesus, of course, he told them, he says, okay, I'll tell you what. Let he who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her. The good thing about these folk at this point, though, is that at least they did have a conscience. They did a self-check. You know who we need to be checking on? You know who we need to be checking on all the time? We need to do self-check. We need to check ourselves and see what our motivation is. Are we folk that just love arguments? We love debate. We love backbiting. We love contention and all of that kind of stuff. Or are we teaching with the hope that the opposition might become a brother or a sister in the relationship that we have with God? Notice what Titus says, or Timothy says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. in verse number 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 25. The Bible says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know what we do? We meekly instruct those who are in opposition to themselves. He says, if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We preach, we teach, not to win arguments or debates, and not to stir up strife among brethren or folk that are outside the body of Christ. We preach and we teach because we want you to be saved. We want you to hear and understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To repent of sins. Turn from self and sin in your own heart and mind and turn to God. Confess that you believe that Jesus is God's Son. Be baptized like the brother and sister were on this past Thursday in water, and rise up to walk in newness of life and praise God. Another brother, another sister, another stone added to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's why we teach the opposition, because they are also in opposition to themselves. When we are not aligned with the word and the will of God, we are in opposition to ourselves. And we want everybody that we can come into contact with to have the opportunity to be saved. But look at these folks, though. They brought this woman. And if you look at Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, verse 22, and Leviticus 20 and 10, we only need to look at one of them. We can see that they were already in violation of the law themselves. You see, because Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 22, the Bible says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall, how many? What? They shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. When they brought this woman to Jesus, where did they say they caught her? They said they caught her in the very act of adultery. How can you catch the woman in the very act of adultery? And the law commands both the man and woman to be stoned to death or put to death. And you got the woman, but you didn't get the man. You see, they had no regard for what was taking place in terms of the act of adultery. They had no care for that woman. They had no care for that man. They were debaters. They were argumentative. They want to prove their point. You hear these preachers in the Church of Christ said, and we said it, brother, listen. And I was a young convert, new convert in the body of Christ, and I've sat in the auditorium and I heard the preacher get up there and say, I'm going to drive this nail even if it busts a plank. Yeah, I'm going to drive this nail even if it busts a plank. And, you know, I know about putting nails in wood and you can bust the plank, but what I have discovered that when we were building stuff, and if you bust the plank, then you can't use that plank for the job that you wanted it to do. Brother, we're not trying to bust planks, and we're not trying to drive nails. We're trying to win souls. We are not debaters. We're not argumentative. We're trying to save somebody. The people who are in opposition to themselves. And if we're debaters and argumentative, it's listed with fornicators and adulterers and backbiters and all of those things, just like the other sins. We teach the opposition. We preach to the opposition with the expectation that they might be obedient to the word of God. Brother, you know what? If I was on Facebook Live right now, I would have to say amen. I'm just saying. That's what I would have to do right now. There's an amen in there. Wow. Amazing thing. In John chapter 8 and verse number 10, after these folks had been convicted by their own consciousness, they slowly began to filter out. Jesus looks up in verse number 10. The Bible says, when Jesus had lifted himself, he saw no one but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Oh, this is an emotional moment there. They have humiliated this woman. They drug her there, put her in front of Jesus, and start telling Jesus about this woman's sin. And the only one that was qualified to condemn her was Jesus Christ. And he asked, where are your accusers? You know who our accuser is? Our accuser is the devil. Hath no man condemned thee? She says. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, what a beautiful word. A word of reconciliation. A word of rehabilitation. A word of renewal. Letting this woman know that you are valuable in the eyes of God. He taught the opposition. And he gave this woman an opportunity to be right with God. It's amazing, brother. It's amazing, sister, that Jesus, knowing folk wanting to kill him, was still able to teach folk with a hope or an opportunity that they might receive the gift of the word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, see, you didn't know you could preach this much sermon from just one chapter, huh? John chapter 8 and verse number 12, get this one. The Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do we get that? That Jesus is the light of the world. He says, if you're going to be my disciples, you are to be light. And the light shines out in the darkness. And the darkness does not comprehend the light. But the light reveals, the light illuminates, the light allows people to see things that they had not possibly seen before, and they can react to those things that they see as opposed to continuing in the same way that they've continued. Do not walk in darkness. Remember in Luke chapter 9, I'll just switch over for a moment to the Gospel of Luke. You remember Jesus had said in John chapter 4 that we see the disciples, they go through Samaria. Jesus had said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he met that woman at the well in Samaria. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in John chapter 9 and verse number 52, the Bible says, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. Now, Jesus sent his messengers. He sent the disciples before him into Samaria to get the place ready for him to come through. And you know, those folk felt disrespected because Jesus also had the intention of getting to Jerusalem. The Samaritans are one race of people. Okay? The Jews are another race of people, but actually they're cousins. Because the Samaritans are made up of mixed race Jews. I want you to let that settle in. The Bible is always showing us that there are racial diversity and strife in the Word of God. Why would you think there's going to be anything less today? All of this stuff that is going on is just revealing the racial division and strife that has been there the whole time. It's never gone away. And the pot is boiling over and it's erupting out all over. What would Jesus have us to do? These folk disrespected the Son of God, the one who brought peace to the world. And now they disrespect Jesus. They're a different race. I'm going to tell you something. If folk don't respect the Lord, what makes you think folk are going to respect you? If folk don't respect Jesus, then they don't respect the servants of God. They're not going to respect you, but we teach the opposition. We teach the word of God. We give people an opportunity to rehabilitate their lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They disrespected Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, some of these brothers that were walking with Jesus, they go like, we can handle that. Oh, you going to disrespect my Lord? You going to disrespect the Savior of the world? I'm telling you, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle. I'm going to tell you something. We can handle this. Notice what happens in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Lord, we can take this. We will burn this place down. When folk feel alienated, disrespected, even members of the family of God, sometimes they want to burn this sucker down. Oh, I didn't use a bad word that time, did I? All right, okay. I hope nothing slipped out. All right, we've got brothers going around saying, oops, that slipped. Well, it can't slip if it wasn't in there in the first place. Notice in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. Man, wait. You are a child of God and you walking with Jesus and you want to call down fire out of heaven and burn that sucker down. Listen, folk that are going around setting fires and all of that and trying to burn the sucker down. Listen, it is not the way of the people of God. You don't know what manner of spirit you have. That is not our role. That is not our responsibility. We're teaching opposition to get people to get ready to go home and be with God. In the church, we're not debaters. We're not backbiters. We are preachers and teachers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Man, notice in verse number 56 of Luke chapter 9. For the Son of Man, get this, people, get this, brother, share this with somebody. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. That's not what Jesus came for. Well, Lord, if you didn't come to destroy them and to burn this sucker down and to condemn them, why are you here? He says, but to save them. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to save. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, that is our motivation. That is why we teach the opposition. We teach you. We teach the racists. We teach the bigots. We teach the folk in the church who are backbiting and debaters. We teach all of us. We teach ourselves. Why? Because we are people and we don't want to be in opposition to the word of God and in the body of Christ. It makes a difference what our motivation is. We're going to teach the opposition. Teach people who oppose themselves. In John chapter 8, you remember Apostle Peter in John chapter 8. And some folks, I'm going to tell you, I have folks that are in the Church of Christ who are talking about, you know, we need to pull up and get some arms and get out there and we can get this thing under control. That's not the way of the people of God. God does not want us out there in the street talking about we're going to burn stuff down or that we are going to take our guns and get out there like the folk that were on the far right got out there walking around with their automatic weapons. Brother, listen, sister, listen, that is not the way of the people of God. Now, when we can handle and do stuff on our own terms, then folk are like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. If I die out here in the fight, I just die in the fight, but I'm going to take some of them suckers with me. No. That is not the people of God. You remember in the garden that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and these people come out with swords and staves to take Jesus. Remember, we saw in Matthew's gospel when he said, I sat daily with you in the temple teaching and, you know, you didn't come at me then. Why are you coming? Why are y'all coming after me like you're coming after a robber or a thief? Why are you doing that? But remember, in this same scene we see in John chapter 8, in verse number 11, Peter had taken, of course, out his sword in verse number 10, and he cut off Malchus. All right, come on, brother. Come on. I show you what we're going to do. He cut off Malchus' ear. In John 18, rather, in verse number 11, I think I said 8. John 18 and verse number 11, the Bible said, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter, put your sword back up. Brother, put up your AR-15. Sister, put up your 9mm. Sister, brother, put up your 38. Listen, that is not the way of the people of God. Yes, yes, I am aggravated. I've been black all my life. I really am. I'm stressed. I'm aggravated about the injustice, but this is not my first time around the block. It's happening over and over again for an extended period of time. And what God wants his people to be about is to teach the opposition. Train a person's mind. Convert a person into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul says, we're like sheep for the slaughter. We are lining up. We recognize that we're not going to stay in this life. People strain at a gnat in Matthew 23 and verse number 24 and swallow a camel. Let's remember the small things, but don't forget the big things. Matthew 23 and verse number 23, the Bible says, woe unto ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Where's your judgment? Where's your mercy? Where's your faith? We don't want to omit the big picture. We don't want to omit the weightier matters of the law. We've got to have some judgment among ourselves. We've got to manifest the mercy of God and demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to get out of here. We just got to be ready. We got to get out of here. And the Lord did not promise us a peaceful hour in death. We just want everybody who can and will, and especially the opposition, to have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you think it would make the world better if we converted folk to the gospel of Christ? Do you think it would make our relationships better among us and other folks if we converted everybody to the gospel of Christ? I mean, I have to believe it is, and it would. That's not necessarily the reason that we teach the gospel of Christ. We teach the gospel of Christ because we want to transfer them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's why we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it just makes everything better. Can the unsavory be eaten without salt? Now, I'm going to tell you, I really enjoy salt on my food. I like salt. Some say I got a salt addiction. I know. But I'm going to tell you, if you got beans, you sprinkle a little salt. Doesn't it taste better? Well, you've got cabbage, and you got a little salt on it, and some greens. You know, the salad. You go to the restaurant. When we could go to restaurants, they're starting to open back up now. And they would come by and they would ask you, pepper? Would you like some pepper? It's like, okay, yeah, you do the pepper. It's like, where's the salt? Put a little salt on it. See, we are the salt of the earth. And by the sprinkling of our lives into the unsavory things that are taking place in the world, we make everything more palatable. We make it better. It's not covering it up. It just makes it better. Notice in John chapter 8 and verse number 30. I think I'm about 5 scriptures away from the end. Hopefully I can get to most of these, if not all. In John chapter 8 and verse number 30. You see, these people were trying to find a reason to kill Jesus. But he taught the opposition. And notice the amazing power of the word of God. In John chapter 8 and verse number 30. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Everybody's not ever going to believe. But when we teach the opposition, when we preach the word of God, even folk that are lined up and trying to find a way to kill you, you still can reach somebody. And many believed upon him. many believe the word of God. So let's not get sidetracked. Let's not be debaters and argumentative among ourselves or the folks out in the world. Let's concentrate and focus on teaching the opposition the word of God, that they might hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, added to the church that Jesus built. And we add a savory element into the world. The Bible then gets to our verse of scripture that was our scripture that we read. After these people were converted, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That's to those of us who are already in the body of Christ, and to those who would be obedient to the gospel of Christ and be added to the body of Christ. We have to continue in the word of God. It doesn't matter the situation or the circumstances. We cannot lay down the word of God. If you continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. And you know the famous verse that we quote a lot of times in John 8:32. I didn't put it in the notes, but it says, and ye shall know the truth, right? And the truth shall make you free. We can free up some people in this world. Two verses. I'm going to get Romans chapter 2 and verse number 12 and Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. I might read verses 6 too. Romans chapter 2 and 12. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Did you get that? Did you get it? The Bible says, don't you be like everybody else. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like everybody else. But be ye transformed. We are different people. People look at you like, why ain't you all out here and crazy and no. Don't be like everybody else. You know your mama told you this when you were a kid growing up. She said, if everybody go and jump off the bridge. Did your mama tell you that? If everybody else go and jump out, you going to jump too? Because everybody else is jumping off. You know why they would ask you stuff like that? Because, you know, like she's saying, like, that is stupid. Listen, I'm not calling anybody stupid, but I'm just saying that God's people do things differently. Don't be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. Why? By how? The renewing of your mind. Why? We're teaching the word of God. All right. Titus 3 and verse number 5. Let me not prolong this. Titus 3 and verse number 5. You see, it's not by works of righteousness that we're going to be saved. Did you know that? It's not going to be because of the good things that we have done. Is that still in there, Titus? Okay, all right. Okay, wait a minute. You know what? I don't think my iPad wants me to finish this lesson. I think I'm supposed to keep preaching for a little while longer. All right, but in Titus chapter 3, in verse number 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, it's not because we just do all the right things all the time, but he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Verse number 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's why we teach the opposition, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the scripture. If you believe that, then if you turn from self and sin, turn to God. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Just confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and send a message to 713-672-2654. Call us. We will get you in the water. And I'm not going to pour this bottle of water on your head. We will get you in the water. We will baptize you into the body of Christ. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. We come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. We certainly hope and pray that something was said that will encourage us and our walk with God. I want to take a moment to thank you guys for your support, your encouragement, as I was in the hospital and as I was out of the city for services for a funeral, and I'm back. Thank you so much for your support. You are wonderful people. You've been so good to me. And let's take that message out into the world that we are teaching and preaching the word of God. We're teaching the opposition. God bless you and keep you.
If you just ask the Savior to help you, he will come for strengthen and keep you, and he is willing to aid you. My Jesus will carry you through. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Well, and each victory will help you some mother to win. And you've got to fight manfully on word, dark passion subdue. If you just look ever to Jesus, and my Jesus will carry you. Oh, so why don't you ask the Savior to ask him to help you? He'll come for